What this network needs, this network gets. I promise you that.
The following presentation is brought to you by the Shining Wizards Network, home to a vast array of sports and entertainment podcasts, including Two and a Half Wrestlers, Neckbreaker, Turnbuckle Throwbacks, Inconclusive Breakdown, Midnight Jury, After Midnight, Apex Radio, and The Shining Wizards. Plus exclusive shows Thursday Night Destruction and Kevin Gill's King of Indies podcast. Available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Audio Boom, and at ShiningWizardsNetwork.com.
The one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
The recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
The Shining Wizards Network proudly presents
the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast
with your hosts,
the Impact Player, Phil Rea, and Dave Mega Powers.
Everybody's just so excited because we have the world's heavyweight champions here. And I want you to know that I tried to find Jack and Jerry Briscoe, and I went over and tried to find in Oklahoma where they live and some tobacco chewers. I looked at a teepee and I found a cheap bottle of wine there that the Briscoes have been drinking. And I said to myself, with great heavyweight champions like this, and I'm looking at this teepee and it's got Briscoes over top of it, a real classy place, I'm saying to myself, how can the Briscoes possibly have beaten the world's heavyweight champions right on national television in front of everybody? It don't make no sense to me.
They didn't beat us. We were sick. We had the flu the last time we were here, the last time we wrestled the Briscoes. The doctors even told us not to show up, right, Adrian? The doctors told us and advised us not to wrestle.
I thought there was a double pneumonia because they had both of you in the ring at the same time.
I had the Taiwan flu. I was sick to death. 104 fever. I got out of bed to show what I'm made of.
There you go. You see, I knew that there was something wrong, especially when I looked. I know the Briscoes are former World's Heavyweight Champions. I know all that stuff. But with people like the Briscoes, they're coming up and they're saying they deserve a title shot at you now.
Well, you know, it seems that Jack and Jerry Briscoe, the last of the Akawis, think they're big stuff. Cry to the promoters, do they? They want a title shot? There's other teams in line, Daddy. Isn't that right, Dick? Frankie Williams? Rivera.
Yes, there's lots of teams.
That's right. You know, Roddy, we are definitely back. We're definitely healthy now. We're back in shape and line up.
You figure the Briscoes are in shape? Just a little cheap wine. These are the plum of the people that you beat. Oh,
could I hold it? Could I hold it?
These are real champions, and these are what champions are made of. Not the Briscoes.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and everyone in between, this is your recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting, from the current to the way back, We are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. As always, your gracious host, the Impact player, Mr. Phil Ray, and I am joined by...
the Mega Powers.
Good evening, sir.
Salutations, Mr. Ray.
What's going on?
Oh, man, fucking wiped out.
You were... yeah.
Crazy weekend this past weekend. Did a 72-hour film shoot, which is basically a contest where, you know, participants are given the topic. I think we were given the topic on Friday night at 8 o'clock, 8 p.m. Then from there until 72 hours later, we have to have a complete finished film, 5 minutes long. And my God, did these people run me ragged. I think we had like 2 18-hour straight days.
All right, well, we're going to take it a little easy tonight, David, because we are live.
We're live.
That's right. Rant EM Radio is the spot. We are a Shining Wizards Network production. A very good evening to everyone. Yeah, man, it's been a professionally for me as well. It's been a rough couple of weeks, so to speak, and it just for some reason in my line of work, when the seasons change, people just start acting the fool. Everybody wants to go to a hospital. Everybody's dying. Doctors panic. Social workers go out of their minds. Administrators lose their shit. Like, it's ridiculous. So yeah, I've been pretty overwhelmed with work myself.
Why do you think they choose this time of the year to start dying?
I think because of the weather. I think it's nicer out. People are doing more things. You know what I'm saying? And I've been in this field since, wow, I'm going on almost 20. This is like my 16th year. But like every year we try to figure it out. You know, I don't understand. And
you think there's like a secret meeting that these like people decide to go to, and I'm like, yeah, we're gonna start catching pneumonia, syphilis, AIDS.
Yeah, like even like the you know what's really big right now? Mental health.
Mental
like,
health.
Like psych, like EDPs, emotionally disturbed people. It's like
not some... Wyatt Riot's mental health.
No. Mental health.
Okay.
But I got to tell you, man, it's like even those people, when like the weather changes, they want to just go fucking bonkers, man. It's crazy. So, yeah, I've been pretty overwhelmed with work myself and trying to work on other stuff for the show and just like other interests outside the show, trying to get everything intertwined. And hopefully when I get more information, I'll keep everybody posted. But other than that, man, it's been summer is finally here. It was like 9,000 degrees out today.
I just wanted to throw this out there. I have some really good news.
You have really good news?
But I'm going to share. I can only share it with Phil after the show.
Oh, okay.
I hope to share it with other people, but there's no confirmation yet, but I'm working on something.
Okay. Working on big things.
Working on big things.
Speaking of working on things, I got some more show material today.
Oh.
In the form of our boy Choppy.
Choppy sent you something?
Choppy came and met me today while I was shopping. He was, you know, he said, "Hey Phil, I got some footage. I got some footage for the show, for future shows. Can I give it to you?" I'm like, "Yeah, sure, why not?"
I said,
I put on social media all day. Listen, I said, I'm redoing the man cave. I'm going to start converting more video from my collection, but I need more video. You know, listen, the bottom line is that you and I, we pick stuff. But sometimes we don't get a build up. I don't want to just talk about a match. I want the build up to it, and I don't have a lot of that stuff. You know, I could tell you how great. Like tonight, we got a couple of matches, but like we have a little bit of a build up, right?
Yeah.
But the bottom line is that we don't have a lot of build up to some of the older stuff that we do.
Well, plus the older stuff gets, you know, the harder it is to find.
Yeah.
You know, full episodes harder to find. You know, build ups, which is, you know, what makes old school pro wrestling so great. You know,
so amazing.
It wasn't just the story in the ring. It was the story leading up to it. You know, regardless of its, you know, like an I hate you, you hate me kind of situation, you know, they had some compelling stories, you know, stuff that's, you know, brutally lacking in today's wrestling. And I'm actually going to get into that. I'm going to get on my soapbox a little bit later.
Yeah, yeah. So I put on social media that, hey, listen, guys, I'm looking for footage. And a lot of you guys inboxed me, and I'm really thankful and blessed. And people are like, oh, yeah, Phil, don't worry about it. I'm looking out for you. Fucking Choppy came through, man. He dropped off some ECW stuff to me on DVD, some Mid-South DVD. So, I mean, I got some stuff I'm going to be working on, so that's great, you know?
Yeah.
So that's what I've been doing, and trying to my fantasy baseball team, my Strat-O-Matic team is not falling apart, but I'm a new player in this league that's like 30 years old, and I'm trying to keep up with these geriatrics, and my pitching staff isn't working out for me, so I'm working on that. Working on Mikey's birthday is this weekend, so we're doing big things for him.
Mike.
Yeah, the big 8. We watched some Ring of Honor before. Main event was the Bullet Club taking on the Kingdom, Bennett and Taven. So that was good stuff. We saw some Jushin Thunder Liger take on this, what the hell is this guy's name? Dalton Castle, I think his name is. The guy's got a great gimmick. If you take Rick Martel, Prince Iaukea, and Joey Ryan and mix them all in, it's Dalton Castle.
Mm.
The guy comes out with fucking with man slaves and everything. It's fucking awesome.
Man slaves.
Yeah, like those Coming to America type shit. The guys, they wear like the headdresses and all that.
Oh yeah, I remember that dude.
That's what he comes out to. So it was pretty funny watching that before. And you know, so it was a pretty amazing thing. Hello, honey. Wifey is home from her gala. But yeah, man. So like we're watching that, and I say to him, my son, I'm like, dude, Jushin Thunder Liger is 50 years old. And the kid just stopped and looked at me like, really? I'm like, yeah, he's 50 years old. And he's doing, you know, suicide dives.
So. Yeah, the dude is, you know, more proficient in the ring than guys like 30 years older than him.
Amazing.
It's insane. And the guy consistently has great matches. You know, he was part of best of the Super Juniors that went down, you know. Finals happened this past Sunday.
Well, yeah, we'll segue right into that, by the way, so go ahead.
Yeah, but the dude's like an active participant, you know. He's pretty much at a point now where we know he's not really going to go far.
He's there for the ride.
In the tournament, he's putting over more guys lately. Maybe within the past like five years, the guy's been putting over more young talent. But, dude, the guy's, you know, prowess in the ring hasn't changed much. And that says a lot. That says like a huge, huge amount. You know, they don't really see guys like Liger who were able to move, you know, almost the same way for 30 years.
Yeah. So, speaking of New Japan, congrats to one half of the Time Splitters, Kushida.
Yeah.
Who won the tournament. Dave actually posted a picture of him holding his trophy. Alex Shelley wrote a wonderful piece on him, if you guys caught that on the internet. Wrote a nice big long piece on how he started, and he was a reporter doing stuff for 01, and he wanted to go to wrestling school and the whole nine yards, and Alex really put him over. So if you guys catch that, I think it's on Alex's page, or they put it on New Japan's page. But yeah, take a read, man. It's a nice piece I read this morning. So take a look at that. That's really good.
Take a look at it because I didn't see it. Actually, one of the downsides of Best of Super Juniors this year was that, again, Alex Shelley had to forfeit his place in the tournament. Suffered an injury, suffered a ligament damage, and an avulsion fracture in his left foot, which forced him out of the Best of Super Juniors. I believe last year the issue was with his shoulder and his arm.
Yep.
Which, you know, the guy's been getting quite injured a lot lately. A lot of people have been, you know, curious if Alex Shelley's going to be hanging it up anytime soon. I don't know if that's going to be the case. I hope not, because the guy can still go. Actually, probably my favorite juniors match of the year. Actually, two of them so far have been Alex Shelley matches. One was the match that he had with Kenny Omega. And the second one was actually just kind of like it was like a hard cam house show match on New Japan World. It was between him and one of the Young Lions, Jay White. And it was just like a nothing match on a nothing card in a nothing part of town. And they fucking tore the roof off the place just with an opening match. And, you know, Alex Shelley, I feel, is somebody who, when he was in Motor City Machine Guns, you know, a lot of people were, I guess, like more Chris Sabin fans, but I was always an Alex Shelley fan. And the guy's, you know, hugely underrated. should have been IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champion in the past, should have won Best of Super Juniors in the past, but, you know, fate has a cruel hand sometimes and hasn't really, you know, shined any favorable light, you know, as far as championships and tournament victories, you know, in singles competition for him, which sucks. Because the guy's really put out some, like, really, like, A-plus matches, you know, real true five-star Super Junior kind of matches. His three big fights with Prince Devitt, I would say, how long ago was that? I think maybe about 3 years ago, were extremely good. And the IWGP Junior Junior Heavyweight title match that he had with Prince Devitt was so good. I remember I posted a while back, and I think part of why it was so good was because they actually, from what I've heard, I don't know the reason why, but they didn't particularly like each other. And there was a point during the singles match where Shelley purposely elbows Devitt in the face hard enough and he breaks his nose, and there's some juice. But Alex Shelley's always been, you know, on the top of my favorite, you know, current, you know, junior wrestlers. And I hope he comes back. And, you know, what I alluded to earlier, you know, getting on my soapbox.
Well, before you get on your soapbox, I just want to make a comparison to, I mean, Alex Shelley is slowly becoming like the Daniel Bryan of New Japan. This guy,
I'd say so, yeah.
You know, like, does that make sense? Like he gets to that pinnacle, and then like something happens, like freak accidents, the foot, the shoulder, like ridiculous. And like you said, in not to, to repeat, but like he's that kind of good. You know what I'm saying? So I mean, I feel terrible for him that he had to bow out. He probably could have won the thing. He probably would have faced Kushida in the finals if he would have.
That was what a lot of people wanted to see. I don't remember if they were in the same if they were in the same blocks, or you know, if that was the plan down the road. I, you know, had a feeling Kushida was going to win anyway, because he's just one of the next in line guys. And to get on my little soapbox, I'm not gonna be on here for too long, but I'm sad to say that I was actually very disappointed in the Best of the Super Juniors, including Kushida's finals match. You know, not to downplay what these guys do in the ring, I'd probably say the best match was the finals. But I actually heard that Kushida actually suffered a concussion during the match, which kind of explains why things seemed to go awry. Just seemed kind of like I think we definitely talked about this last week. You know, they, you know, sometimes they pack so much into a match. It's like, well, where are they going to go? And you know, for what I have seen of the Best of the Super Juniors, it's like, you know, these guys are really like doing overkill. And when it comes down to the pinfall, there's like a few matches that I've seen that were just kind of like they threw everything but the kitchen sink. Well, actually, they threw in the kitchen sink. And then they would like end it with like a roll up or some sort of shitty pin or something like that. And, you know, just my two cents. Like, I really feel and I've seen it going on for a while in New Japan, but I was really a bit disappointed in this year's Best of the Super Juniors from what I saw. Just too much filler, and you know, not enough storytelling in the ring. And I was sad to say, I was actually falling asleep during the finals. So you know, not to put down Kushida's victory, I believe he deserves it. He, you know, he recently won the junior heavyweight championship last year, lost it during his first title defense against Taguchi, who Taguchi lost his title, first title defense to Kenny Omega at Wrestle Kingdom 9. But again, these guys are really talented, but I truly feel, especially in the juniors division, it's got to be some sort of storytelling. Because for me, I'm just kind of getting bored of the flippy shit. As cool as it is, it's becoming overkill to a point where it's not that enjoyable.
Well, welcome to it, my friend.
Yeah,
I think it finally reached overseas.
Yeah,
and you know, I feel like maybe, I don't know, maybe it's me, but maybe New Japan just wants to, I don't want to say stay relevant because they made this amazing comeback the last couple of years where they were like, you know, they were hardly mentioned, and now they're now with the between the internet and now the network they have, and now the stuff, a lot of their stuff becoming available on even before the network, this stuff was getting on DVD and on Daily Motion stuff. That, you know, they were dead in the water for a while. They make this comeback, and I think maybe they're jumping on some bandwagons, maybe.
Well, you know, they got a lot of guys from ROH. They're bringing in a lot of the gaijins who, you know, wrestle the current style. And a lot of the indie style now is a lot of spot fests. A lot of the dudes that were, you know, cruiserweights, as we would call them in the U.S., you know, now they're the heavyweights.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's becoming, you know, it's been a lot of talk for WWE as well, you know, that, you know, the future is with the smaller guys. They're not getting the huge guys like they used to.
Yeah, they're
smaller. You know, when a guy like, you know, Finn Balor comes around or Pac, and they got more of a ring presence and more of a style to them than, you know, John Cena or the other guys, and they get a bigger reaction, it's kind of like, well, that's the thing, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
But, you know, I don't feel the art of storytelling is completely lost. Obviously, you know, NXT has some great stuff. Lucha Underground is incredible.
Yeah, no, storytelling is even when
this network gets.
Oh,
you're damn right, Brel.
That's right.
Enough of these jock ass wrestlers.
I hate the wrong one. I get what you. I get what you're saying. I just and I feel like, you know, even Ring of Honor is telling some better. Better stories in terms of just the spots. Like, you know, I was watching before, and, you know, the big Best in the World pay-per-view is going to be from New York next Friday night. I'm super stoked. I'm so stoked that I even got a mutual so I can work the 6 o'clock till 6 instead of 10, and I can come home and watch it for 9, you know. I picked up an earlier shift that day. So, you know, it was funny because, you know, I'm watching some of the things. Hold on one second. I was watching, like, the last episode of Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
And it was, like, the promos were good, man. Like, Jay Lethal was cutting a really, really good heel promo. The Briscoes, like, you know, there's still hints of it. Lucha Underground does the best job of it.
From what little I saw,
yeah,
the show was, you know, even with the cinematic, you know, clips, like, it's really good.
Yeah,
you know, and I'm sure a lot of us aren't, you know, big fans of the whole, you know, like, really, like, too in depth, like, storylines where it's kind of like, where they're trying to, like, you know, do like a television, like, show, like a sitcom or like a. It's like trying to make it a horror movie or something like that, and it just doesn't translate well to wrestling. But I feel for Lucha Underground, it actually fits pretty well.
Yeah,
especially since we know that it's like related to Robert Rodriguez, who is a film director. So yeah.
Yeah. So I see what you're saying with New Japan.
Mainly I'm talking about the juniors division. Heavyweight division is still. I'm surprised that the heavyweight division is better than the junior heavyweight division, because for the longest time, like, I had, like, almost no interest in the heavyweight division. Just some of the guys that they had, they just weren't to my liking, to say the least.
Right.
But, and, all, you know, all the top talent was in the junior division. Now it's swapped. You know, the last couple G1 Climax tournaments were incredible. Last year's was so good. I actually own pretty much all of them on DVD. And this year it's going to be even longer. I think it's like almost like an entire month. Actually, I got the lineup right here. Let me go over it real quick. And we got Okada, who's going to be in it. AJ Styles, Hirooki Goto, Togi Makabe, Tenzan, Tanahashi, Yuji Nagata, Kojima, Naito, Shibata, Shinsuke Nakamura, Yano, Ishii, Yujiro Takahashi, Carl Anderson, Doc Gallows, Bad Luck Fale. A lot of people were moaning and groaning about this, but I feel it's a perfect addition. Michael Elgin from ROH is going to be a part of it.
I love Michael Elgin.
Yeah,
I do. Unbreakable. Michael Elgin is one of my favorites.
A lot of people were I guess, rooting for Roderick Strong to be a part of it because I don't really watch too much ROH or PWG, but I hear he's been having like an insanely good year.
Resurgence, yeah. Roddy's back in the fold.
He's been around for a while, so he needs a resurgence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, for a guy like Roderick Strong, like, he's incredibly good, but really hasn't broken out from, you know, his usual surroundings, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So the other two guys are Kota Ibushi and Honma, who hopefully actually wins a match this year.
Yeah, poor guy.
And they're having over 20 shows, which I think is groundbreaking for them. It's going from July 20th until August 16th. So this is going to be going on before Castle Slam.
Yes. Yes. Speaking
of, I'm praying that Mr. Rex doesn't have a heart attack from all the training that he's doing.
Yeah, spoke to Rage last night. He's ready. Rage actually made a contribution to the rant.
$10.
Yeah, monetarily. So that was cool.
I had to make a bit of a prickish comment, but I felt it was necessary. I was curious when the guys that were actually going to be eating all the food were going to donate some money to the food that they're going to be eating.
Yeah, well, I told Double A, I was like, man.
I know Rage is not the richest man, but I'm glad to see that he's contributing to the insane amount of food that he's going to be eating.
Yeah, so the contract signing will be on our anniversary show July 1st, which I hope to have. I hope to have Rage in studio that night, maybe with everybody. Maybe he could do it for the contract signing. That'd be pretty cool. If not, no worries. Double A is drawing up the contracts with the lawyers, getting everything in order. I am working on getting some equipment, like some wireless mics for downstairs, and we're going to have a setup downstairs. And the camera thing may not happen only because there's no money right now. So if anybody wants to donate one, if I need like a fucking, you know, one of those.
Use your cell phone.
Yeah. Yeah, we're just going to have.
Like, cell phone.
Yeah. So, you know, Mega Powers will be the referee. We'll have Tank with us.
I got called down the middle.
Yep, we'll have Tank with us. I think Choppy said he'll stop by. So we'll have a good, nice little crowd of people for this. It'll be pretty cool. So go to rantdmradio.com. Click on the donate. You know, a couple of bucks from each, for everybody. We can cover this.
A little bit goes a long way.
Some more programming notes this Sunday, June 14th. Coverage for Money in the Bank starts at 7 p.m. with the rant. I don't know if there's a Rexplex tomorrow. Rex is still apparently laid up.
On shelf?
Yeah, apparently. So we don't know about that. Rant and Wrestling, 9 p.m. And then Saturday, it's the Wrestling Call-In Show with Mr. Will I Am Morgan. And then Sunday, Surfer and Jordan with the What Are You Reading comic book show. So good stuff going on over there, too, as well, if you guys are into comic books. A lot of good books coming out lately. So do that. Oh, so speaking of smaller wrestlers, shout out to Davey Richards. He got married today. He married Angelina Love.
Angelina Love.
Yeah, from TNA.
Oh.
So shout out to him.
Congratulations to him.
Yeah, congratulations to him.
Speaking of family news, Matt Jackson of the Young Bucks, baby boy.
All right.
Congratulations to him.
Future super kicker. So good for him. Good for him.
Or, you know, at this child's age, maybe an ankle kicker.
I keep forgetting to mention this every week too. If you guys listen live on the rant, and you don't participate in the chat room, if you guys have a Roku, you could stream the rant through your Roku.
Ooh.
If apparently it's got the TuneIn app on it, so you know, so go to that too, and I'll plug all the other stuff for the show at the end of the show. I don't have a lot of news, Mega Power. Like, I got a couple of quick notes.
I have some news.
All right, well, get into your news. What do you got?
All right, hold on. Let me pull up the article. Actually, look news this week. Actually, had a bit of time to look for news.
Look at you.
Chris Hero wrestled a 3 hour plus match.
Yeah, for charity
to raise money for ALS.
Yep.
Hero had pledged to wrestle 30 minutes for every $500 donated in a match that was referred to as the Infinity Gauntlet.
Yeah.
You know, whether Hero won or lost, a new opponent would come out and keep the match going. All in all, Hero had 17 matches within the time limits. He ended up raising $3,440 for the cause, well over their goal, which is insane to hear, because I actually recently heard was it Daniel Bryan talking about how he wants to wrestle a 3 hour match, and looks like Chris Hero beat him to it.
Yeah, and for all the Chris Hero haters, because he fucking put on 20 or 30 pounds, you get in a fucking ring and wrestle for 4 hours.
Okay? Looking like that.
looking like you, whoever, you know. I saw whoever a lot of, I saw a lot, I was telling Choppy today, man, when I was hanging out with him. I saw a lot of Chris Hero hate in the last couple of days.
Because of how he looks, which I don't understand.
Who cares?
There's a lot of ugly, fat wrestlers out there. There's look at Kevin Owens. Look at Adrian Adonis, who we're talking about tonight. Dick Murdoch. These were no beauty queens.
Dusty Rhodes was 300 pounds. He did fucking Broadways with Flair for like almost a year or four times a week. Broadways.
He had a weird belly splotch on his stomach.
Broadways. He wrestled an hour a night for 4 or 5 nights a week with Flair for a fucking year, okay? And he was 320 pounds.
Yeah, so I don't get it. You know, a lot of people just, they read something online. They hear like, oh, he wasn't WWE material because he looks like shit. And I know Low-Key even called him out on his physique. And a lot
Fuck
of
Low-Key. And what's Low-Key doing now?
Beats the hell out of me.
Exactly, so shut your mouth.
So, listen, this is wrestling. There have been a lot of misshapen body types in professional wrestling since the beginning of time. So.
Yeah, too many armchair quarterbacks sitting in their fucking mom's basement with the keyboard. I'm not a mark. Whatever, eat a dick.
A little too much time drinking Mountain Dew, and they need to hit up some Mellow Yellow because it beats the taste of Mountain Dew.
Woo! Mellow Yellow!
So anyway.
Anyway.
Suzuki Goon had their own show on New Japan World, conspicuous by their absence on New Japan. Suzuki Goon featuring Minoru Suzuki, the Killer Elite Squad, as well as the fuck's his name? How come
Benjamin?
Shelton Benjamin's in there. Shelton X Benjamin. Yeah. It's one other dude. I don't know why I can't remember him. Anyway, it doesn't matter. They had their own show on New Japan World, but they haven't been on New Japan because New Japan owns a controlling interest in Pro Wrestling NOAH now.
Ah, that's right. You mentioned that.
Yeah, so basically they kind of transported Suzuki Goon over to NOAH, you know, to do some storyline, to do some storyline work with that. To my understanding, and it's completely understandable, you know, we see it a lot in, indies that we go to. There's a lot of fans that are, you know, I'm sure they've been Pro Wrestling NOAH fans since Misawa's, you know, inception of the product. And a lot of them get very offended that, you know, the top guys are Suzuki Goon, who are New Japan guys. And this is really offensive to, you know, lifelong hardcore Pro Wrestling NOAH fans. And NOAH is not doing good at all. Most organizations that aren't in New Japan are not doing well in Japan. All Japan, you know, they're wrestling to, you know, less than 1,000 people. Same thing for NOAH. Really small crowds, which is not what they're used to. You know, All Japan, of course, you know, back in the 90s. I think they had like the longest string of sellouts at the Budokan, just for their shows in the early 90s alone. And, it's a shame what has, happened, you know, to these groups. But, New Japan's doing what they can, you know, to, you know, revive the product. But I hear the Suzuki Goon group in Pro Wrestling NOAH isn't doing all that great, especially since they're pretty much demolishing all the NOAH guys. But regardless of that, If you have New Japan World, there's an exclusive Suzuki-Gun show, which is not Noah, which is not New Japan, but it's just Suzuki-Gun brand. But, you know, a lot of questions of, you know, bring up, well, if New Japan owns a controlling, you know, portion of Noah, does that mean that they get to show Noah stuff on New Japan World? And the answer is no. And that's because, you know, the people that really, like, own these groups are the television stations. So TV Asahi, they don't – I don't think they own the right to show Pro Wrestling Noah, which actually TV Asahi owns New Japan World. So chances are of seeing Pro Wrestling Noah on New Japan World is not going to be happening anytime soon. Outside of that, we're a month away from NWA Classics.
Yes. July 4th, I think, is the launch.
Yes. It's going to be a lot of – it's going to be the same style as New Japan World. It's going to be like a YouTube kind of service, but showing old school as well as new school NWA.
Yeah, it's going to be from like the 60s all the way up to like the early 80s, like 83, 84, I think.
Yeah.
So I'm not
like a lot of Paul Bosch.
Yeah.
Kind of footage from that territory.
If they give give me a trial, I'll take it. I'm paying for too much right now. I can't do another service. I just can't.
Yeah, it's a lot of money to be dishing out for wrestling that, like, I have a hard enough time keeping track of New Japan World. I don't really like spending much time on the internet. I really don't like spending too much time watching wrestling or TV in general during the week. It's really hard because, what was it, yesterday alone, I spent probably like a good 5 hours plus just watching Adrian Adonis and Dick Murdoch stuff because I had zero time the rest of the week to do it.
Yeah.
So it's tough. And to buy more stuff and keep up with everything.
If there's a free trial, I'll do it. That same day, WWE is doing that 5:30, 6:30 a.m. fucking.
I'll be watching that.
Yeah, we're gonna be getting into DC the night before, so I'll probably just crack open the laptop while the kids are still sleeping, you know, and I'll just check that out with the headphones and watch that, because I'm really excited about that. I mean, nothing's going on at 5:30 in the morning. We're not doing anything.
Hey, man, you know, best part of waking up is some pro wrestling in your cup, I guess.
Yeah, fuck the Folgers, you know. Pro wrestling in your cup is good. Give a quick shout-out to our brothers over at PWS over the weekend. Dan Moff, new world champion over there. Congrats to him. He had such a great program with Fala and Mario Bocara since last winter. So finally, you know, Moff has his day and he gets the belt. Apparently it was a great match. Shout out to Brian Myers from 2.5 Wrestlers, Kurt Hawkins, whatever you want to call him. He won their new TV title. He beat Chris Payne. He beat in the finals. Chris Payne lost his valet to Tessa Blanchard, turned on him.
Oh.
And speaking of turning, Shining Edward Jackson added a fifth member. So now they're the Shining, the Jackson Family Five. So, yeah, Devin Moore turned on Reality Check and Kevin Matthews. So he is now the new member of the of Eddie's crew there, Heel Eddie.
Oh, boy.
So PWS is heating up. They're doing some big things this summer, so check them out.
And I'm glad Eddie's having fun over there. I'm not the biggest PWS fan, but I'll always support Eddie and his endeavors.
I support indie wrestling, period. So, and I support a couple of guys out of there, especially Moff. Moff's one of my favorites. So anywhere Moff goes, I support him. So shout out to Moff and the Boricua Beast, the badass himself.
The Boricua Beast.
That's right. Yeah. The Bayonne man, Mr. Bayonne. All right,
Mr. Bayonne, like he won some sort of
bodybuilding. The only thing I associate Bayonne with is Walmart and Dan Moff. So, you know,
I remember there was that Not a Surf video that was in Bayonne.
Not a Surf, God, they were terrible.
'90s.
You like those guys?
No, I just remember the video because was it like they did some sort of like video of, like in a high school, and it was in
Bayonne.
All the jackets said Bayonne. The song sucked. I didn't like it at all.
It was always on 120 minutes. I hated that song. All right. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, that was like the time when, you know, it went from, you know, heavy, you know, hair metal into punk. And then, you know, alternative. And then it just kind of like jumped the shark with all those bands that were trying to be like all the other bands that were like legit and raw. And it just kind of like,
it was just trying to hang on, you know?
Yeah, man.
Not everybody can be the Breeders, you know?
Yeah, man. And then that's how we got Nickelback.
You know, I don't give them that much shit. I'm not a huge fan of theirs, but I don't dislike them. But I know they get a lot of shit, those guys.
Yeah, I'll give them a little bit more. Yeah. I think over the years I don't hate them as much, but just for shits and giggles, I'll just poke them a little bit.
All right. So before you have any more news or?
No, that's all the news that I can use
for the Jews. Let's
for the
see.
Jews.
I forgot where it was from. Ron and Fez. That's where I got that from. I stole that from Ron and Fez. Let's see. All right. So a couple hours ago, our buddy Mr. X, posted a clip of Joni Lara, a.k.a. China, on the Opie radio show with Jim Norton.
Oh, boy.
I almost said Opie and Anthony because Anthony did not.
I didn't get to watch it, but I can only imagine the shit that went down in that clip.
Well, we all know the story. I'm not going to rehash it, okay?
One night in China.
Yeah, well, that came up, and this is what happened, okay? So she's carrying on about how bad she has it, and, you know, she's trying to get her thing back and blah, blah, blah. Meanwhile, she's...
Their groove back.
Yeah, meanwhile, you know, she's got so many dicks going through it. Dude's double parking them on her ass, you know? So, like, again, it's not... You know, I never disliked China. We'll put that disclaimer out there. I knew her role. I was cool with it. I never had a problem with her. The DX thing was great. When she won the IC title, I was like, eh. But her and Jarrett had a good program. Her and Jericho had a great program. I enjoyed her a lot. Now, she had a lot of bad demons, man. She was into a lot of shit, drugs and everything else, even before the porn. And she was involved with X-Pac, which Dave just mentioned the video before. They made a porn. Okay, so now she's just like carrying on how she didn't consent to certain things. And so now while this is all going on, X-Pac, his phone's blowing up. He's not listening. I guess he doesn't have satellite radio. But he was, you know, people were tweeting him, yo, man, she's putting you on blast on fucking this radio show. So, of course, Opie being Opie takes X-Pac's call. Pac calls in. And puts her on blast and said, yes, I beat you up. Yes, I fucked up. Yes, I did drugs. I did this, this, and this, but I never did. Like, he was coming out with every single thing he did. And, you know, and doing this self-justice. He was like, listen, I did these things. I'm not proud of it. Why can't you put this stuff behind you? You know, it was a long time ago. You know, I was a terrible boyfriend. I was violent. I was obnoxious. I was a junkie. I was terrible to you. I was terrible to my kids. He was totally, like, believable, you know? And she was like, well, you know, I'll have my day, and I don't remember that. And she was, like, very nonchalantly, like, you know, I don't think she realized that, or not that she realized, but I don't think she thought that Pac was going to call in.
Uh-huh.
You know? But when he called in, she totally fucking changed the tune.
Oh, I bet she did.
Because he was like, listen, you're wrong. You're a fucking liar. He told her, you're wrong. You're a fucking liar. That happened, but I didn't do that. I did A, B, and C. I didn't do D. And every time she said something, he said, no, yeah, I did that, but I didn't do what you're telling people I did. You know? And apparently, and I knew that he was sexually abused as a kid because he was on Colt Cabana's podcast. He said something about that a while back. So I liked X-Pac, I totally like him more now than ever with this clip. So if you guys go on the Facebook page or the Rant page, I think Mr. X put it on both pages.
Mm.
It's like 20 minutes long. Plug in the headphones, not for the kids. Give it a listen, and you won't be disappointed. You really won't. It's that kind of fun.
Yeah. I don't know too much about what's going on in, you know, 1-2-3 Kids, you know, personal life, but... seems like over the past several years, like, he's been really doing his darndest to turn over a new leaf, which is not easy for a lot of these guys at this point in their lives. You know, I don't know what it's like to be, you know, a guy in his 40s, but I can imagine from what I've been hearing, everything in general just gets harder.
It does.
And if you want to succeed at something, you got to work even harder.
Yeah, it's you know what? I'm not – I just turned 40, mm-hmm. and nothing ever came easy for me anyway. So I'm kind of like halfway there, if that makes any sense to you.
Uh-huh.
But I'm the guy that, you know, constantly has to think outside the box, and you have to use your head more than you use your body because that's where you have the advantage.
Yeah.
You know, the only reason why she's bitter is because he cleaned his act up and all his friends are calling him. Triple H calls him. Scott Hall calls him. By the way, Scott Hall's back in rehab. But Scott Hall calls him. Kevin Nash calls him. Triple H calls him. And he shows up to these things now. Like, they said to him, clean up your act, take care of yourself, and you'll be back in the fold. And you know what? That's what he's been doing. Unfortunately, she can't do that. Unfortunately, she can't get over her fucking self. She can't get past her demons. She refuses to get help. Apparently, he blew a spot up about her family. Apparently, her family is all open armed and she wants nothing to do with it.
Yeah,
so
man.
There's a lot.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that have these kind of problems. They normally do have people that they can go back to who are more than willing to help them out, but they choose not to. Let these people in.
You know, he was like, oh, he told Opie, he goes, I live in Philadelphia now. He goes, I'll drive up to New York. I'll take a lie detector test. And Opie's like, oh, yeah, do it tomorrow. Because Opie's just trying to get radio, you know?
Yeah, man.
But it was, you know, again, not that we were beating any dead horses, but, you know, it was really nice to know that at least Pac stood up for himself and he, you know, fessed up to all the bullshit and he did his thing. So I'm happy for him. And Joni needs to fucking, you know, stop sipping the D for money and, you know, put some respectability. Because, you know, he made a point of saying that she was a trendsetter in the business. She did what girls couldn't do. She paved the way for a lot of girls to be in wrestling rings more than they were back before her. You know, she was like, he said to her, she was like the Billie Jean King of wrestling, you know? So I think I lost Mega Powers, but, hold on one second. Let me try to call this knucklehead back. Do, 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 do. It's probably stealing somebody's internet. So I can't get in touch with him. But anyway, you know, she just needs to get her shit together. That's the bottom line, you know. If you want to make money doing porn, then make money doing porn and just shut up. If that's the only way you can make money, then shut up. You know, don't do porn, do drugs.
The person whom you're trying to reach is currently unavailable.
Hello, mate. Sorry. You know, hold on. Mega Powers is texting me. Internet went down. Be right back. Okay. Well, with that being said, let's take a quick break. Dave's going to reboot. And then, you know what? I'll wait until he comes back. Then we'll take a break. So, case in point, let me take some of this. I'm enjoying some nice hard cider tonight. And my fresh Optimus Prime pint glass that I break out for special occasions. But Joni needs to get over herself. And I really hope that she cleans her life up. I really do. I do. I know how it is to be with people that deal with addiction. I grew up with it. I lost a lot of people. Family, parent, uncle, cousin, best friends. Like, I get it. I totally understand where it's coming from, and it's a hard thing to do. But I also wasn't, my family wasn't in the public eye either. So if you want to stay relevant, clean yourself up, put some respectability back in your name, and who knows? You may get one of those Hall of Fame nods in a decade. You know, when you're shriveled up and you're old and you can't do porn no more and you wrote 7 books about your life and things aren't as glamorous as they used to be. Hopefully you find something. Whether it's faith or something, find something that makes you happy. Maybe porn does make her happy. Maybe she likes sipping the D for money. But again, just shut up. You know, don't do anything. Hold on a second. Yeah, all right, Dave, I got it. You texted me. Blah, 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 blah. Anyway. So. But, I mean, it's a thing where I don't have a lot of sympathy for people who don't want to help themselves. You know, I'm in a situation now where there's a loved one who's doing it bad, you know. And they would call you for help, and they're like, well, you know, this happened, that happened, and this happened. So now, when you call me, I'm going to tell you, okay, that all happened. So now we can fix this if you do A, B, and C. And when you tell them I'll do A, B, and C, they tell you, they always have an excuse. Junkies have an excuse. Joni had an excuse for everything, every single thing Pac said today. You know? And I wear, you can't see it because I'm not on camera, but I wear my wife on my wedding day got me a necklace with my dad's picture and his initials. And he was 45 years old when he passed away. Okay, he was 45, and he had 25 years of heroin and caught AIDS and died and, you know, decided that his demons were more important than his family. And, like, it was a trend in my neighborhood, you know. People were just dropping. Like, young dudes, young girls. Like, it was just ridiculous. There's no need for it, you know. But if you truly want to help yourself, there's always time for reform while you're still breathing. And I'm a firm believer of that, you know. I don't think people, I think actors, actresses, sports entertainers, I think athletes, I think they, you know, they like that. People like a good comeback story. People like to read and see when people fall off and come back. I love it. I drink the Kool-Aid all the time. Like, I'm like, oh, yeah, that guy's good. He fixed himself up. I'm happy for him, you know? And I'm not just, like, ha-ha happy. I'm genuinely happy because I know the struggle. So if that person fixes themselves, people will start looking at you differently if you're in the public eye. I guarantee it. I guarantee it. Let's try to call this knucklehead because I have to go to break, get some more cider, start bringing the room down. So, anyway, all right, you know what? I'm waiting for Dave to get back on. Let's take a quick break. Ladies and gentlemen, we are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast, live on rantemradio.com. We are Shining Wizards Network production, as always, and we'll be right back.
Paid for by the following.
Coming this summer to Rant, EMRadio.com.
No, I want this. I want this. I want this.
The food eating challenge of the century. Mr. X, Rage the Creator, and over 200 White Castles. Who will be victorious? Who will puke their fucking guts up? You'll have to find out at Castle Slam 2015. Coming this summer to rantemradio.com.
Yo, Big Phil here from the Turnbuckle Throwbacks. When you know what our show, head back on over to ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. That's right, the mothership, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. We have 10 amazing shows right now for your listening pleasure. We have the Neckbreaker Podcast, the Thursday Night Destruction with Dave Destruction from Pro Wrestling Syndicate, the Midnight Jury and their sister podcast, After Midnight, the Inconclusive Breakdown Podcast, the Apex Radio Podcast, part of Apex Wrestling Entertainment. Of course, you have the Turnbuckle Throwbacks with myself and Dave Megapowers, Two and a Half Wrestlers, Pat Buck, Kevin Matthews, Jay Silva, and Brian Myers. The King of the Indies podcast with the OG of PMA himself, Mr. Kevin Gill. And, of course, the Shining Wizards. So what the hell are you waiting for? ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. It's entertainment here. Yo, Big Phil here from the Turnbuckle Throwbacks. When you're done with our show, head on over to RantEMRadio.com. That's right, RantEM Radio, covering all your pop culture and pro wrestling needs with 10 amazing shows. How about Freaks and Effing Geeks, The Rant, Turnbuckle Throwbacks with myself and the Mega Powers, The Wrestling Call-In Show, The What Are You Reading comic book show, That Awful Podcast, The Thursday Night Delight, The Rexplex, Rant and Wrestling, and the Lex Entertainment Experience. So what are you guys waiting for? Rant Entertainment Media, RantEMRadio.com. It's the opinions you love, the history you crave. It's Rant EM Radio.
Every Friday, the 80s and 90s are back on The Midnight Jury. Available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and TuneIn Radio, The Jury transports you back to the days of Walkmans, VHS, arcades, and malls. Covering the best in pop culture, pro wrestling, and horror, from reviews to interviews and everything in between, we want you to get on board every Friday and travel back to the last old school generation. The Midnight Jury is a production of WLWstudios.com and a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
The following announcement has been paid for by the Ike World Order.
Forget about that. You just brought up
Gary Hart will whip his ass.
Tony C just brought up Ike Turner. How awesome was Lawrence Fishburne in that movie?
Oh, excellent.
I'm sorry to get off topic, but he was amazing.
Play that role. Nah. I got San Antonio. Nah. I can have you. Nah.
Ike said he only hit her once.
He beat her with a shoe.
He
said he only smacked her once.
He smacked her once, but he hit her with everything else.
I hit her with everything, but the kitchen sink now, dog. But I'm saying.
Did you see that? You see that look in his eye?
Natty is more of a man than rage.
Ooh, wait a minute now.
Oh, yes, Wax.
Wait a second. This is the co-host of the Wrestling Colon Show.
Oh, yes, Wax.
That was so disrespectful.
Nah,
I can't have you.
That's
you,
why your
you
girl's, about,
like, you
that's why your
star,
girl's about to get eliminated from the Amazing Race.
You see that? I've never questioned your manhood, Rage.
Bullshit, you didn't, Surfer.
Tony.
You never ever question your manhood.
You did it. Yo, you always do it.
How?
The preceding announcement has been paid for by the Ike World Order. The Wrestling Call-In Show, every Saturday evening on RantEMRadio.com.
All right, fans, tonight at the Boston Garden here in town, tremendous World Wrestling Federation outing. Each and every one of these great matches have got to be main events anywhere in the country, anywhere in the world. Adrian Adonis, I understand your tag team partner, Dick Murdoch, on his way into Boston for the big match tonight. It is a title defense for you and Murdoch against Jack and Jerry Briscoe. And we cannot forget the fact that the Briscoes, in front of a national television audience, did indeed defeat the two of you via submission with a double figure four.
Well, let me tell you something, Mean Gene. First things first. Dick Murdoch is doing our taxes right now. He's up to his ears in number two pencils and scratch sheets. As far as the Briscoes go, everybody knows it was a fluke. From the East Coast to the West Coast, everybody knew he had double pneumonia. We climbed out of bed with 104-degree temperature, but we made the shot. Sure, they got a fluke grin. But I'll tell you something, Jack and Jerry Briscoe. I'd rather burn out than fade away. And your figure four might be deadly, and it should be outlawed from professional wrestling. But when you cater to the promoters, which Brudak and ourselves do not, well, who kisses the roses?
I don't really get the point there. You're saying
they're kiss faces. They burn up to the promoters. They get the referees. They get what they want. Pretty soon we'll be wrestling them in their backyard in Okieville, Oklahoma. Now, right is right. It's coming to a head. It's going to come to Boston Gardens tonight. And it's going to come down to this. Survival of the fittest. The strong will eat the weak.
I thank you very much,
Happy
Adrian. Very good. I thank you very much, Adrian Adonis.
Whom you're trying to reach is currently unavailable. Please leave a message.
Shut up. All right, we're back. I guess Mega Powers can not connect. Hold on one second. So I guess I'll have to call in. But we're back. Had to take a break, you know. All that good stuff. Chef Paul Dube from the Sports Den just posted up a link. But they're live right now. But I don't want you guys to leave our show to listen to theirs. But if you want to, go ahead. All right. Now, what's going on with you, Slappy?
Fucking internet just broke down. Computer shut down. It decided to update itself, too. So here I am waiting for my computer to reboot.
Oh, boy.
And just count the minutes.
So did you take notes, or you want to not do
it? Oh, yeah. I took notes.
All right, so you're all good? I mean, all right.
I'm ready to roll.
I figured I'd take a break while you get your computer back in order. I was on my soapbox about junkies for a minute, and then I was like, let me bring the mood back up and play some spots and come back and kick some ass.
All right, so we're on break right now?
No, we're here. We're ready. I took a break, went downstairs.
Oh, okay.
Grabbed some more cider. You know, I'm just like you, I'm exhausted. Yeah, like you, I am exhausted myself. So just trying to get this shit going so we can wrap it up. And another show in a can, baby. Another show in a can.
Damn right.
All right, so Mega Power is on a landline until he fixes his computer. All right, so let's get right into tonight's throwback. Well, we're not really doing a throwback. We're doing a throwback to a show in our affection for good tag teams. I remember, you know, right around the time I picked up wrestling as a kid, I was like maybe 8, 9 years old. One of the first things I realized was a lot of tag teams, like a ton of tag teams. And it was very commonplace back in the territory days, where if guys had a nice run somewhere on a singles tip, when that run came to an end or they didn't win the championship they were going for, or they just didn't want to work in that territory no more, they would pick up somewhere else and join a tag team, which did two things for you. It not only escalated you as a performer, but it gives you stock for other territories to scout you out. And that's what happened with Adrian Adonis. real name, Keith Frankie, with an E. Adrian Adonis was, you guys all know him as the adorable Adrian Adonis from the WWF late 80s, but he had a crazy run before that as his biker dude, you know. Upstate New York guy. Got his break in the AWA in the late 70s, early 80s. He formed a tag team with, of course, Jesse the Body Ventura. They were called the East-West Connection. They billed Ventura from California, but he was really from Minnesota. And Adonis was was from New York, obviously. And they were a very popular tag team, winning championships, and they feuded with Vern Gagne, Mad Dog Vachon, Gagne and Brunzel, the High Flyers. You know, it was commonplace again to leave a territory. So when Adonis and Ventura got scouted out by you know who, they went right to the E, you know? But they got booked in singles matches. Ventura went and did stuff with Ivan Putski. Adonis got himself championship matches in the beginning of the 80s with Bob Backlund, then world champ, and IC champ Pedro Morales.
Yeah.
You know?
Even in 84, he had a Intercontinental title shot against Chico Santana.
Against Santana, yeah. Quite a few championship matches, by the way.
Yeah.
But we all know the story. Jesse Ventura, well, for our benefit, he got hurt a lot. And Jesse was banged up pretty bad by this point. And they gave him another job and became an announcer, you know. And it
Yeah, because he had the run with Hogan going on. And then, maybe confusing him with Tillman, but I believe he had like the polyps like in his throat, you know, from his time in the war, and basically just kind of had to call it a day from there because he couldn't wrestle anymore due to that, and you know, became an announcer. He had to forego his run with Hogan.
Yeah, he had blood clots. He had blood clots in his lungs.
Yeah, his blood clots. I believe exposure Tillman had polyps. His lungs or something.
Well, he had exposure to Agent Orange in Nam. That's why Ventura, you know, had to quit. And he did come back briefly to team up with Randy Savage in a couple of matches. Because him and Savage were really tight.
Yeah.
But, he had the Agent Orange and the polyps, and he had a bad back, too. So, I'm sorry, Dave. Yeah, finish your point. I'm sorry.
No, that was my point.
Oh, that was your point? Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, now... What happens is, again, keeping that getting your stock back up, forms a tag team with Dick Murdoch. Now, Dick Murdoch, famously a second-generation wrestler, multi-time Southwest Junior Heavyweight Champion, started wrestling in the mid-60s, famously teamed up with Dusty Rhodes as the Texas Outlaws, cut his teeth in Florida and Mid-South and, of course, Mid-Atlantic. Mid-South.